News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, Russia is suspected of jamming communications on a plane carrying Defence Secretary Grant Shapps yesterday. GPS signals were reportedly blocked for about 30 minutes as he passed the Russian territory of Kaliningrad travelling back from Poland. Defence analyst Michael Clark is almost certain it was Russian interference.
They were doing this sort of thing over Kaliningrad even before the outbreak of the Ukraine war. What they were doing was jamming an aircraft in civilian airspace. This is not a war zone craft. They were also jamming signals to any other aircraft that might have been in this vicinity. So it's a complete breach of civil aviation regulations.
One of the most senior politicians in the United States has called on Israel to hold new elections. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer claims Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way. The community secretary has named several groups he says could be connected to extremism. Michael Gove says some have Islamist views, while others promote neo-Nazi ideology. He claims the move will allow the government to reinvestigate certain organisations and shun those they deem to be extremists. Some critics say it'll put freedom of speech at risk, but the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, says there are legitimate concerns.
What I said on the steps of Downing Street a few weeks ago, that there has been a worrying rise in extremist activity, which is seeking to undermine our democracy, our values and stir division, and it's important that government has the tools that it needs to protect against that threat.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister has ruled out a general election on May the 2nd. He's confirmed it won't take place on the same day as the local elections, as has been widely speculated. A man's denied assaulting former Manchester United captain Roy Keane, who was allegedly headbutted at a football match. 43-year-old Scott Laws pleaded not guilty to a charge of common assault. In sport, West Ham and Rangers are attempting to seal a place in the Europa League quarterfinals. West Ham have overturned their last 16 tie lead to Freiburg 3-1 on aggregate, while Rangers are still 2-2 with Benfica. That's the latest. I'm Chris Milligan.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
So we've just had another excellent 98 Not Out. Thank you, Darren. He'll be back next Thursday at 6. Don't forget, he's here with the Reggae Revival Show every Wednesday night as well. You're listening to Phoenix 98FM on a Thursday night, 3 minutes past 7. My name's John Chubb. Welcome into the Non-League Hour.
Stops, nobody knows. Every
huge hit way back in 1982, starting us off musically this evening, the Steve Miller Band and Abracadabra. So beginning our look back at last week in non-league football locally, it was the FA Vars quarterfinals on Saturday, and big congratulations to Great Wakering Rovers and Romford, both of the Essex Senior League, and they were both in the semi-finals and potentially 90 minutes away from an appearance at Wembley. Great Wakering Rovers beat Falmouth Town 2-0 at home in their tie, and they now face Worcester City in a two-legged semi-finals. The first leg for them is away. Meanwhile, Romford beat Northwood Greenford United away from home 1-0, and they face Lincoln United, another step five side, in the semi-finals. The first leg is at the home ground of Rookery Hill. Earlier today, I managed to grab a chat with Steve Gardner, the Romford chairman. We'll hear from him a bit later on. But first off, you can hear me in conversation with Great Wakering's manager, Marcus Bowers.
Marcus, first of all, congratulations on your FA Vars win. It's Great Wakering Rovers' best ever run in the FA Vars. So Saturday must have been a really special day for you.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very special. It'll be one that live long in the memory, to be honest. It was a very busy day, and yeah, very nervy but exciting. And then, yeah, the lads getting the job done was made it extra special, to be honest.
And I saw the video clips of goals. It seemed like a really good atmosphere there. You had quite a decent crowd, didn't you?
Yeah, it's the best crowd I've been in front of, to be honest. It was very good. It was loud. And to credit to Falmouth, who bought probably 250 themselves all the way from Cornwall, which is, yeah, crazy, to be honest. But yeah, they was loud, and it was a good day. It was all quite well behaved from what I'm aware. And yeah, it was excellent. The atmosphere was really good. And I think it played a part, to be honest, in the first half. I think it was a very nervy game. And I think that comes a lot down to people playing in front of five, six times what they used to. We settled down at half-time, and then I think people sort of put the crowd a little bit sort of behind them and got on with normal service.
Yeah, it probably helped Southend United's match kicks off at 5:30. So I'm sure a good few of their fans came along to support you guys before going to that game.
Yeah, I believe a few come. I think people have already looked and seen the Southend are either away or they haven't got a game for their semi-final, both legs actually. So I think yeah, we may end up getting a few over, which is always good to get more through the gate.
Right, well, you had a whole team of heroes on Saturday, Marcus, but the main man was Harry Talbot, who scored twice, one of them coming from the penalty spot. He's been in really good form recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a top player, to be honest, and he's a really, really good lad off the pitch. He's quite well respected, he's very well respected by the lads. They look up to him. Considering he stepped up from step seven last year. I've known Harry a long time, played against him a few times, annoyed the life out of me a few times while I'm playing against him. But yeah, he's took this to this level like a duck to water, to be honest. And I think he's got 30-something goal contributions this season, and it's excellent, to be fair.
Yeah, and he won local newspapers non-league player of the month award, considering he was up against guys from steps one, two, and three. That's four. You know, that's quite a feat, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. He deserves it. He really does deserve it. And to be honest, since then, he scored a few goals. Since he's got it, he scored goals in big games. He can sometimes look a bit out of the game at times, to be honest. But he's just one of them players that can just make something out of nothing. He'll pick the ball up, dribble through 10 players, and go and score. He's got real good attributes.
Now, he only got the Great Wakering Rovers job, or took the job on earlier this season, after you'd had great success at Basildon Town. You took them up to step six. You must be pretty pleased with how things have gone so far.
Yeah, it is good. I feel like I think I've been in management. I think this is my fourth season. Basrington was excellent, to be honest. Took them up to step six. And then, when I got offered the job at Wakefield, it was something that I did say that if something like that come along, then I would feel like I was comfortable and ready to make that next step. And I knew the chairman from when I played for Wakefield in 17-18 season. We've been in contact ever since, to be honest. Sometimes not for a few months, but we spoke occasionally. And then when he offered me the job, it was I felt ready. And I, to be honest, if it was another club in the same league, it may have took me even a little bit longer to decide. I wasn't sure, but as I say, I think the chairman, he sold it for me because I knew he would guide me and advise me. And to be honest, for the 5 months, I've learned a hell of a lot already. So yeah, it's been unbelievable, to be honest. A lot of highs, and at this moment in time, not too many lows. So it's important not to get too high on the highs.
So obviously the Vars runners had a bit of an impact on your league campaign. You've got quite a few games in hand. You're currently in mid-table, but bear in mind you've played less games than I think anybody else in the Essex Senior League. Obviously, you're looking to finish a lot higher this season than where you are at the moment.
Yeah, when we come in, I said I wanted playoffs. It was an aim for the chairman, and it would always be a aim for me to finish as high as we can. So, obviously, I think we've got 14 league games now in 5 weeks, I believe, and obviously two of them weekends we now lose to the Vars, which is great for the club. It's not great for the players' legs, but as long as they recover well, these boys, they want to keep going. So why not? I think the momentum should hopefully carry us through. We will pick up injuries along the way. I'm not silly. I had it last year, Basildon and Town. We ended up with 5 games in 7 days at the end of the last season, which was crazy. And the league just won't extend, which is a shame because I think it does ruin the integrity a little bit, and it does sort of punish good seasons. But what can you do? That's how you have to deal with it, really.
When you look at the setup at Great Wakery Road, it's a club, looking over the last few years, it's kind of moved between steps 4 and 5. Do you think it's a club which can go up to back up to step 4 and establish itself there?
Definitely, 100%. It should be at step 4. Everything about it is step 4. The professionalism around the club, which comes a lot from the chairman, it should be a step 4 club. Essex Senior League is a good league, and it's a real tough league this season. Obviously, Tilbury have sort of, I think they'll win it now, I think they'll run away with it, but then the next sort of 4, 5, 6 teams are really strong, and even teams that are going to miss out on the playoffs, whether that be Barking, Arse, Woodford, Romford, Sporting Bengal, there's some real strong teams that are going to miss out. But it just shows how strong the league really is this season.
And just getting back to the Vars, in the two-legged semi, you're facing Worcester City, who I believe are been made favourites by the bookies, and they've kind of made you the underdogs. Do you think that's something that could work in your favour, though?
Yeah, I've said it a couple of times now, to be honest. I think we've been here and we've managed 6 Vars games, and I believe, from what people are telling me about the odds, we've been the underdogs in every tie so far. So, yeah, underdogs is a thing. You read things on social media that we're being written off and stuff like that. But this isn't the first time we're being written off. So the boys believe they can do it. I believe they can do it. They genuinely believe we can beat anyone on that day, and I fully back what they think, to be honest.
Great stuff. Great talking to you, Marcus. And we wish you luck for the rest of the season. The very best of luck in Vars. In particular, and hope to see you guys at Wembley with a bit of luck.
Hopefully, thank you very much.
Grateful thanks to Marcus Bowers for his time. So, as we mentioned there, in the semi-finals, they faced Worcester City, who are going very well in their league at the moment. They're currently in second place, I believe. And the first leg will be away for Wakefield on Saturday the 30th of March, and the second leg at home on the 6th of April. Shortly, we're going to be hearing from Romford's chairman, Steve Gardner.
Having a ball with Keith Ball on Phoenix FM. Big band, swing, jazz and special guests. Having a ball every Saturday morning 10 till 12 only on Phoenix FM.
I'm having a ball on a good old town tonight.
Yeah. 98 FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
So Romford's victory in the Vars quarterfinals on Saturday saw them win 1-0 away to North Greenford United, and they faced Lincoln United, another Step 5 side, in the semi-finals. They were at home in the first leg on 30th of March and away from home in the second leg on the 6th of April. And this afternoon I caught up with the Romford chairman, Steve Gardner, and here's what he had to say.
Steve, the first thing I want to say is congratulations to everybody at Romford for reaching the FA Vars semi-finals. The first time since the current Romford club was formed in 1992, you've got that far in the competition. It must be a great feeling.
It is. I think we're all as surprised as everyone else. It wasn't a target that we set out for this season. We wanted to get promotion from Step 5 back to Step 4. And like a lot of clubs, the Cup, the FA Cup and the FA Vars is an opportunity perhaps to make a few quid along the way. We came into the competition a little bit later than some teams because we did well last year before crashing out at Jersey. And we sort of won a couple of games, and then all of a sudden sort of someone said, oh, you know, last 32, and then it was last 16, and then last 8, and now it's semi-finals. And to be honestly truthful, it's all a little bit surreal at the moment.
So you won 1-0 at North Greenford. Remy Sutton was the goal-scoring hero. But you had a whole team of heroes on Saturday, didn't you?
We did. We had three players out from suspension. And I'm not going to say they were sort of the best players or whatever, because we've got a really, really good squad and every person is worth their place in the squad. But I think it's fair to say, as one was the captain and one was the top scorer, that they would have featured in the game. The manager put on, made a bit of a gamble and put big Darren Phillips, one of our centre halves, up front, and he was a real menace all game. And although he didn't score any of the goals, it was a bit like a boxer sort of softening up the opposition. But yeah, they were all heroes, all sort of 18 of them that were involved in the squad.
And the good thing is, Dan Spinks and his side haven't, despite the Vars run, they've not let things distract them from their league form. So they're doing really well in the league as well, aren't they? They're coming in third place.
Yeah, last season it was a bit different because we did well in the Vars and we were getting very excited about it. And then, of course, the trip to Jersey came up, which created a lot of interest. We got beat heavily in Jersey. And then when we came back, our league form really, really dipped. And we never really seemed to get the momentum back until the last part of the season. But, you know, even now, we've tried to sort of play down sort of the importance of the Cup. And let's be honest, of course it's importance. But I keep saying to the players, you know, still got to focus on the league. Still got to focus on the league, you know. So whilst Wembley is still a step away, we have actually got 9 cup finals to get into the playoffs. And if we get into the playoffs, we've got 2 more cup finals before we get promoted. So we're focusing on all those games, with an away game tomorrow we've got to Ilford. And none of the games in this league are easy. And of course now, because of our elevated position and also great wagerings in the league, when you play either of those teams, you know, you're going to have the chance to beat someone who's in the semi-final with FA Vars. So everyone's going to be raising their game against us in the league.
Sure. And things are really looking up for Romford off the field as well, because you didn't have a home you could call your own for years. You spent a long time ground sharing with other clubs. But this season, you found a new ground, Rookery Hill in Covingham, former home of East Thurrock United, and you've moved into that ground. How's that going? Are you looking at sort of staying there long term?
No, it's not. It's not a long term project. The owners have sort of said to us it will be sort of short to medium term. It's good for us in as much as it's an opportunity for once for us to have our own ground that we can call our own. You know, we can have posters, banners up. It's Romford Football Club. You know, we can control the use of the pitch when we get their use of it for training, etc. But we are mindful of the fact that it's quite away from Romford. It's not the easiest ground to get to if you don't drive. And the whole idea of local football is that you support your local football team. So whilst it suits us at the moment and we're more than happy to be there in the short term, we really want to get back into Romford. And our crowds have done well this season because we've done well. If we want to start getting crowds of sort of 200-300, then that's got to be in the borough of Havering and playing as close to Romford as we can.
So the ultimate goal is to get back to Havering, which I know is what it was before you took out the lease at Rookery Hill.
Yeah, it is. We've had planning permission before. We know that we'll probably get planning permission again. It's just raising the money. I mean, and that's... Sure. That's easy to say in a sentence because it's going to cost the best part of £2 million, I would have thought, to build something, even more if someone goes for a 3G pitch. So before that can happen, we've obviously got to partner with someone. Now, we've spoken to lots of people in the past and we're speaking to people at the moment. But of course, there's a very big difference between sort of someone expressing an interest and then going down the road and finally them actually sort of, you know, putting that first sum of money with the council so that the building can start. But there are people out there still, even in these difficult times, that have got money, and we're just hoping that we can partner with someone who has the same vision as we do for the community and hope that we can get the ground built, because I'm pretty sure that if Romford have their own ground and home back in the borough, you know, attendances would really fly.
Absolutely, you know, it's an area with a big population, and you know, if you had a successful team playing in Havering, I'm sure local people would respond. But in the short term, do you feel there's a good chance of returning to step four at the moment?
There's a chance. It's a very, very difficult one. If you look at the Essex Senior League at the moment, I think it's fair to say it's for Tilbury's to lose. And if you look at their position at the moment, their current form, I can't really sort of see them losing sort of possibly 5 or 6 of their last 10 games. I don't think they've lost a league game for about 18 games. So then you've got the teams that are fighting for promotion. You've got Great Wakering, who've got a lot of games in hand. We're obviously in the semi-final with the Vars. You've got us. You've got Barking, who have only lost one game, I think, in the last 15 or 16. You've got Woodford, who won again last night. And you've also got 2 or 3 clubs that are still probably going to make a late push. You know, that could be Saffron Walden. It could be... pretty confident at the moment of getting in the playoffs. Once you get in the playoffs, it's going to be exactly like the semi-final with the Vars. It's a real lottery. And I keep saying to people, you know, it's small margins. You know, you often see these games and someone says, oh, you know, team that went up in the playoffs, they weren't the best side, or they weren't the side that come second, or they were 15 points behind somebody else, you know. And we see it in the Championship and League One and League Two and the Conference. You know, it literally is for that 90 minutes on the day. If someone makes a mistake, or you get a sending off, or there's a decision that goes against you and what have you, or someone hits one from 40 yards and it goes in, and that in effect can be your promotion push over. Makes it very, very exciting, but also very nerve-wracking as well.
Sure. Okay, just get back to the Vars. It's a two-legged semi-final. You've been drawn against Lincoln United, another Step 5 club. Do well in Air League. The first leg is going to be at home at Rookery Hill. Do you think that could work to Romford's advantage?
A lot of people have said, oh, I would have preferred the first leg away. And I know traditionally people want the second leg at home. But for me personally, it doesn't matter. I mean, on our day, I would fancy us against probably anyone, I would have said. I mean, Worcester, I think, sort of, you know, are very, very strong. You've only got to look at their league position. Great Wakering, we know. We've already got to pay them next week in the league. We're both going for the playoffs. So I'm not sure that I particularly want to play them in the semi-final for that. So Lincoln might have been the draw that we wanted. Not so much because of them being sort of any sort of weaker team, but just it just suits us. I don't particularly want to play a team from my own division. And as I say, you know, Worcester is a bit of an unknown. We've got a few supporters that, funnily enough, live up in the Lincoln area and have seen them. So we know they're a good side. I would imagine when you look at the league table, they're in a sort of similar position to us. So I reckon it'll be a really, really good matchup. But no, I'm happy to have them at home first. We'll get a big crowd in there. Everyone should be back from their suspensions. Hopefully everyone will be fit. So Dan will have a real problem trying to decide which of the 11 are going to start on the day.
OK, well, we wish you the very best of luck in both legs of that semi-final. And no club from Essex has won the FA Vars in 40 years. So you never know, that could change this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good year to do it. You know, as I say, you know, sort of wind Dan up and say to him, look, you know, we need to do it this year, because if you're going to get us promotion, it'll be the trophy next year. And I wouldn't expect him to go out and win the trophy. So but we're just enjoying it at the moment. We've had some tough times at Romford before, and this is an opportunity for the supporters, the players and everyone involved to have a really good season and just have a bit of fun. And whatever happens in the semi-final, I'm so proud of all the players to have come this far. So, you know, we'll just see what happens.
I really appreciate your time, Steve. Thank you for talking to me.
No worries at all. Thank you.
So, Romford chairman Steve Gardner sounding very upbeat there. We wish Romford and also Great Wakery Rovers all the very best in the semi-finals of the FA Vars.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Still lots cramming this evening, and we begin with a roundup of the other non-league matches from the last week in the men's game locally. Starting off in the National League, where it was something of a local derby at Roots Hall. On Saturday, Southend United took on Dagenham and Redbridge, and it finished one apiece after Ryan Hill had put the daggers in front on 14 minutes. Danny Waldron levelled the scores just after the restart, and it finished Southend United 1, Dagenham and Redbridge 1. But the Shrimpers got best winning ways on Tuesday night. They were back at Roots Hall facing Dorking Wanderers, currently struggling against relegation, and Blues won 2-0. Gus Scott Morris put them ahead on 27 minutes, and the prolific Harry Cardwell scored a second with just 5 minutes to go. Disappointment for Dagenham and Redbridge, though. They had a very long midweek trip to Gateshead, and they ended up losing by a goal to nil. Dajon Brown scored the only goal of the match for the Heed, 14 minutes from time. So Southend United up to 10th now after that win on Tuesday night. The Daggers currently in 13th place. Chesterfield still the runaway leaders at the top of the table. Barley, Bromley, Solihull, Moors, Aldershot Town, Gateshead and Altrincham currently in the playoff spots. And the bottom four from the bottom upwards are Oxford City, York City, Dorking Wanderers and Kidderminster Harriers. Moving on to the National League South, and on Saturday, Chelmsford City had a rather bizarre away match, in inverted commas, at Gloucester City. Gloucester being close to Chelmsford is to Truro, who was supposed to be the home side. Very, very, very confusing situation. But it was a good win for the Clarets. They went out 4-1 winners. George Alexander scored twice from the penalty spot, and Cameron James and Alpha Odysseus were the other scorers for the Clarets, who remain in second behind the leaders, Yeovil Town. And Yeovil slipped up on Saturday. They lost 1-0 at home to Rod Stringer's Welling United. So Chelmsford, whose manager Robbie Simpson celebrated 4 years in charge of Melbourne Park this week, just 9 points behind the Glovers in the table now. Braintree Town are in fourth place in the table after a 1-1 draw against Slough Town at Cressing Road on Saturday. Aaron Blair put the iron ahead on 58 minutes. Slough equalised on 73. Disappointment for Avely, who were hoping to find their way back into the playoffs, but they were beaten 2-0 by Weymouth at Parkside. But they made it up for it on Monday night when they were back in action at Parkside, and they beat Tunbridge Angels by 2-1. Razak Coleman put the Millers ahead on 35 minutes. Tunbridge equalised from the penalty spot just after the restart. Manny Ogunrindi scored again 5 minutes later, and it finished Avely 2, Tunbridge Angels 1. Avely in ninth place after that result. Braintree Town beat Dartford 2-0 at Cressing Road on Tuesday night, thanks to goals from Jack Coulthurst and Tom Blackwell. Chelmsford City were away to Maidstone United, and it was a defeat for the Clarets. Late goals from the penalty spot, 81 minutes, and 7 minutes into injury time gave the home side a 2-0 victory. Aside from Chelmsford and Braintree, Worthing in third in the playoff spots. St Albans City, Hampstead, Richmond, Borough and Bath there as well. The bottom four comprises now of Dartford, Eastbourne, Borough, Haven, Waterlooville and also Dover Athletic.
I'm John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
And our featured non-league match on Phoenix Sport on Saturday was involving Billericay Town, who had suffered 5 defeats on the bounce in a really dismal run in the Eastbourne Premier League, but they managed to hold on to their spot in the top 5. But they were hoping to stop the rot with a trip to the East Sussex coast to take on Hastings United. And following them down there was Andy Gardner. We can hear a full-time report from him now.
It has finished here at Pilot Field. Hastings United 1, Billericay Town 1. And 2 points dropped really for Town on the road here in Sussex. They had the game won really. They were in control in the second half. But that elusive clean sheet still remains, conceding with 15 minutes to go. First half was a real non-event. Not much happening at all on a shocking pitch. Really bobbly. They nearly paid the price, Hastings. They like to play out from the back, and they got caught out. Bradley Stevenson was gifted a chance, but he just couldn't sort his feet out, and Hastings got away with it. But he got to a dream start in the start of the second half when Frankie Merrifield was brought down and Bradley Stevenson clinically converted from the spot. That was 1-0, and they were really in control for most of the second half. And then, as I say, that frailty in the back cost them 15 minutes to go. Tommy Fagg got down the right, beat his man too easily, and his cross was on a plate for Will Harley. He couldn't miss, and he didn't. It was 1-1. And then the game fizzled out again. Billericay were really knocked by that blow, and they didn't look like they were going to get back in front and had to settle for a point. So playoff hopes still alive, but really they would have been disappointed to have conceded that goal fairly near the end. So it's finished here and found a good crowd, 1,605. Hastings United 1, Billericay Town 1.
So, despite being held to a draw, they are still in fourth place in the table at the moment. Billericay Town, that is. Meanwhile, leaders Hornchurch 1-2-1. They were also out in Sussex on Saturday, travelled to Bognor Regis Town, who led for most of the match after scoring in the 8th minute, but late goals in injury time from Liam Nash and Lewis Manor gave the Urchins all 3 points. Meanwhile, hashtag United, they had a 4-2 win against Margate at Lynn Salmon Stadium on Saturday. And they scored through Misha Jamali. Nathan Smith helped himself to a brace. And Sakira Hassan was the other scorer for the Tags. And congratulations to hashtag, by the way. They are in the Velocity Trophy final after they beat Haringey Borough on Monday night. They will face Chatham Town in the final on Wednesday, the 17th of April. Our final is going to be played at Aveley's Parkside Stadium. Incidentally, hashtag beat Haringey 2-1 on Monday night. They won a penalty on 77 minutes, converted by Percy Kianjbeni after Haringey had taken a 26-minute lead. And Lupe Parrott clinched it with a last-minute goal. So, hashtag, we've had a mixed season in the Isthmian Premier League, but they've got a cup final appearance to look forward to now. Elsewhere, on Saturday, disappointment for Canvey Island, beaten 2-0 at home by Wingate and Finchley. Concord Rangers still struggling in the drop zone. They had a tough task as they travelled to Chatham Town, currently in second place, and lost 2-1. Chatham took the lead on 32 minutes. Chris Regis level for the Beach Boys just after the hour, but a few minutes later, veteran striker Chris Dixon, formerly of Chelmsford City, Billericay Town and Brentwood Town and Hornchurch, among many others, he scored what turned out to be the winner for Chatham. So after that, Hornchurch remain top of the table, 9 points clear of Chatham. Wingate and Finchley, Billericay and Horsham also in the playoff spots. Hashtag in 10th. Canvey Island down to 15th. Now on Concord Rangers, still one place. They are now one place off the bottom. Only Kingstonia below them. Haringey and Margate, the other sides currently in the relegation zone. Meanwhile, looking at Saturday's action in the Isthmian North, only Saturday's action because Tuesday night was a complete washout. Every match that was due to take place ended up being postponed because of waterlogged pitches. And there was a win for Brentwood Town, going really well at the moment. They beat Enfield by a goal to nil. Samuel Jeremiah, the scorer of the only goal on 53 minutes. Finished Basildon United 2, Grays Athletic 1. Jack Humphrey gave Grays a very early lead in the first minute, and Ben Allen replied twice for the Bees, so they took all 3 points. Brightlingsea Region beat New Salamis by a goal to nil, last minute goal from Daniel Brock, and there was a goalless draw for Haybridge Swifts away to Felixstowe and Walton United. Maldon Tittree took on Bowers and Pitsy, and great win for Bowers. They won by 3-0. 3 second half goals, 2 from Solomon Addy, one of those from the penalty spot, and a last minute goal from Thomas Stagg. Meanwhile, Redbridge 1-2-0 away at Walthamstow. Bradley Bennett and Samson Awandu, the scorers for the Motor Men, on either side of half time. And Witham Town lost. They were beaten 2-0 at home by Bury Town. Meanwhile, looking at the transfer news, there's only one piece of transfer news which comes from Bowers and Pitsy this week, but they've got 3 new faces in their side. Gabriel Camavuaco, who can play as a fullback or winger, he made his debut for them on Saturday. He first played in his native Denmark before coming here and joining Portsmouth. He also played in the Wessex League last season. Freddie Price has arrived on loan from Chatham Town from the ESPN Premier League, left-sided midfielder and forward. He began the season with Concord Rangers, and Tariq Straker is the other new face at Lensammon Stadium. He has joined from South Central side, Sutton Common Rovers, and he is a forward. Sorry, a defender. Right, so looking at the table, Lowestoft Town remain top, just 2 points clear of Felixstowe and Walton. Bury Town in third. Brentwood Town and Basildon Pitsea are fourth and fifth. Basildon United sixth. Heybridge Swifts are seventh. Walthamstow are eighth. And Maldon Tittery ninth. Rightly Sea Region 10th. Witham Town 11th. Goulston, Redbridge 15th. Grays Athletic are in 17th place. In the Southern League Division 1 Central, no game for Waltham Abbey this week, but they're still in third place. And just having a look at the Essex Senior League, and on Friday night, Romford beat Little Oakley 3-1, Woodford against Frenford, Woodford Town 1-3-1. Saturday's results were as follows: Barking 2, Athletic New 1, Barkhurst Hill 2, Takeley 0, FC Claxton 2, Hubbury Sports 5, Houston Town 0, Sporting Bangor United 4, Stanmore Rovers 2, Coyshall Town 0, and Leaders Tilbury beat Saffron Walden Town by a goal to nil. There was one league game last night. Woodford Town won again 3-2 against Little Oakley. Buckhurst Hill were due to play Romford, but that was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. So, looking at the Essex Senior League table, Tilbury still top. They're 11 points clear, and the top five comprises them. Woodford Town in second, Romford in third, Barking in fourth, and Sporting Bengal United in fifth. And just looking at the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division, there was a win for Stansted on Saturday. It won 5-3 at home to Biggleswade Way United, and that victory took them up to 12th place. Furlough none, Division 1 South. Benfleet atop of the table, just ahead of Carlow Town on goal difference after they won 3-0 at Hoddesdon Town. And Harlow Town, they were actually without a game on Saturday. Hutton remained third. They beat Clapton Community, currently in fifth place, by 3-2. Wormley Rovers sandwiched between those two clubs in fourth place. And just looking at the Essex clubs in the Thurlow Nun Division 1 North, three of them are in the top five at the moment, behind Leaders Great, Yarmouth Town, and second place Framlingham Town. Stanway Pegasus are in third place, Holland in fourth, Harwich and Parkston are in fifth place after a 1-2-0 at Witton United on Saturday. But there were defeats for both Holland and Stanway Pegasus. We're going to do a quick women's roundup after a quick musical break.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Kenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people. All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
So a quick look at the local women's football scene, and starting off with the Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Both of our local sides were in action last week. Billericay Town, hashtag United Women, just starting with them. They won 3-0 at home to Oxford United Women. Defeat for Billericay Town, though, travelled to Rugby Borough and lost 4-2. No game for Billericay this Sunday, but hashtag currently in second place, back in action. They've got a trip down to Devon to face Plymouth Argyle. Looking at the Eastern Region Women's League Premier Division, Bowes and Pitsy had a win on Sunday. Barkey have only got one game left, so they didn't play. And Bowers are away to Royston Town this coming Sunday. Just a couple of teams were in action in the women's Eastern Region Women's League Division 1 South last Sunday. Billericay Town Development beat Watford Ladies Development 5-1, and Southend United Ladies beaten 3-1 at home by Hertford Town. And Billericay Development play Hutton this Sunday. Lawford Ladies travel to Watford Ladies Development. And just quickly looking at the Eastern Region Women's Division 1 South. No, we've just done that. Sorry. London and South East Regional Women's League Division 1 North. Neither Clapton Community or Hackney played last Sunday, but they're both in action this Sunday. Clapton Community away at Richmond Park. And Hackney, I have a home fixture against Sport London East Benfica. Also, Essex County Women's League Premier Division. There was just one fixture last Sunday. Hutton Reserves beat Tigers Ladies 2-1. And looking at this Sunday's fixtures, Chelmsford City women will be aiming to, well, they'll stay top of the table because they're 4 points clear, whatever happens, but they'll be looking to extend their lead away to Hutton Reserves. Frontiers ladies just behind them, they are without a game this Sunday.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
So now we're just going to quickly run through the men's fixtures for the coming week. Starting off in the National League, Dagenham and Redbridge have a home fixture against Maidenhead on Saturday. Southend have a lengthy journey as they travel up to Hartlepool United, just a couple of places below them in 12th. In the National League South, meanwhile, Chelmsford City have a home fixture against Bath, who are still in the playoff spots just about. Avely travel to Farnborough, and Braintree Town are away at Weymouth. Tuesday night, CZI are back in action. Braintree Town's return fixture against Weymouth at Cressing Road takes place on Tuesday night at 7:45. Eastbourne Premier League, meanwhile, on Saturday, it's Billericay's Hornchurch Leaders playing at Billericay Town. Concord Rangers travel to Cheshire, Canvey Island at Folkestone in Victor, and hashtag United, they face Potters Bar Town. Incidentally, on the subject of Concord, Billy Knott has been appointed as their new team captain because veteran winger Ricky Modest left the club this week. He has actually joined Potters Bar. Tuesday night sees Concord play Potters Bar Town at the Aspect Arena, ironically. Canvey playing Horsham on the same night, and Hornchurch, they travelled down to Hastings United. In the Isthmian North, Meanwhile, looking at Saturday's fixtures, Brightling Sea Region take on the leaders Lowestoft Town, Highbury Swifts at Enfield, Brentwood Town travel to fellow promotion hopefuls Felixstowe and Walton United, Grays Athletic are at home to Redbridge, Morgan Tiptree entertain Ipswich Wanderers, Witham Town face Bowers and Pitsey, and Walthamstow have a trip to Norfolk to face Wroxham. Tuesday night sees Brentwood in action at home to the bottom club Stowmarket Town. Greys play Brightling Sea on the same night. And on Wednesday night, Basildon United away to Enfield and Walthamstow travel to Goulston. A couple of fixtures for Waltham Abbey in the Southern League Division 1 Central this week. On Saturday, they're away at Kempston Rovers. And a rearranged fixture, I think this was postponed the other Saturday, Tuesday night, they travelled to Aylesbury United. Meanwhile, Stansted have fixtures in the South Spartan South Midlands Premier Division on both Saturday and Tuesday. Essex Senior League, meanwhile, as Steve Gardner mentioned earlier, Ilford are playing Romford on Friday night. And standout fixtures from Saturday include Woodford Town travelling to Athletic, Newham, Barking playing South of Walden Sound, Leaders Tilbury at Buckhurst Hill, and Spawnley Beggar United, another club going well, they are away at Holbridge Sports. I'll have a full roundup of all the results on Phoenix Sport on Saturday afternoon. Just quickly looking at the Furlough Nun fixtures as well. Benfleet going very well at the moment. They have host of Margaretsbury on Saturday, also in action on Wednesday night when they play Tower Hamlets. Clapton Community have a home fixture against Hackney Wicker. Another side doing well, Hutton face North West London. Hollow Town currently in second place, but the only on goal difference, they have an away fixture at Wormley Rovers on Saturday. And just quickly having a look at the Furlough Nun Division 1 North, Harwich and Barkston travel to Holbeach United, Wivenhoe with this, and Holland they go to Haverhill Rovers. Damo Pegasus, they're at FC Parsons Drove. Best of luck to all of our local sides this weekend. I just want to say a big thank you again to Marcus Bowers and Steve Gardner for their time this evening. And coming up next on Phoenix FM, it is Gareth Williams with Bumper to Bumper. So stick around for that. I am going to sign off now with Jamiroquai, who were too young to die. Back on Saturday with Phoenix Sport through till 6 p.m. I hope you can join me then. If not, another non-league hour next Thursday night at 7. Bye for now.
Everybody, don't want no war. No, 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 no. We're too young to die. Too young to die. So many people motive. We'll be right back.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This